You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring
Dawn. Hello.
Wow. That was a lot.
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Check out our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Yes. And also our website, limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where you now can sign up for a full membership for the whole network so you can see streaming things and all the podcast stuff and all the fun extras.
Yeah, like some merch. You get some Buffy merch. Should have been saying that before. Yeah.
Wait, Buffy merch? Some cool Buffy stuff.
What? Yeah, lots of Buffy merch.
Yes. And Angel merch.
That's a Buffy merch. New Darla shirt just came out. Yeah. Buffy and Drusilla. Buffy and... Spike and Drusilla, Buffy and Spike, Buffy and Angel, wow. Buffy and all the vampires, Buffy as a vampire. I'm trying to remember what all we have. Yeah, we have tote bags, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And we have Angel, too, because we're going into Angel. Mm-hmm. Don't we have doesn't he have an Angel shirt or two?
Yes, we have an Angelus shirt, actually, because Robbie loves some Angelus. But yeah,
we all love some Angelus there.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to get a lot of him because, we're getting a lot of Angel and Angelus, depending on the season we're watching. But we're in the spinoff series of Angel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yay! I actually, as I was trying to find some recap videos and stuff, I saw a reel, like an old video of David talking about going into a spinoff, and he's talking to the things like, yeah, like when they talk to me about this, it's like, okay, I have to now, it's a whole different ballgame being the star of the series and taking on that weight. And he just kind of talked through it, and it was kind of neat to hear him understand the responsibility that he now had with being the front runner of the show.
Right.
And he did amazing, and he continues to do amazing in all the shows he does.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they really had to do a lot more with his character to make it interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, not that it wasn't interesting, but it's like for a leading man, he needed a lot more.
And just be the broody behind the scenes shadow.
You can only brood so much. Like at some point, you got to tell a joke. Exactly.
Yeah, we gotta move past that. Yes, right.
God's sake, do something silly.
Smile, please.
Smile.
I need one smile.
Right. Just a half smile will suffice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, half smile. Great, like a smirk. I'll take a smirk right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which he does do a smirk every once in a while in Buffy, and it was just like I remember him smirking and be like, and just melting, be like, okay,
yeah.
David's smirk. Is just like very melting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is. Like he does it in his other shows too, and I'm just like, hello. Mm-hmm.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's hard to pull off.
It is.
To be fair.
There's very few actors who can like do a smirk or a smile on screen where I'm like, oh my gosh, you're making me melt. Mm-hmm. The other one is Tom Welling. Oh my goodness, I never knew a smile could melt someone through a TV screen until I watched Smallville.
Listen, I'll even admit that. Tom Welling is beautiful. And he's,
oh
he's
my
still
gosh. Good. He's good looking. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I saw the reel of whatever his cameo he did as Superman with whatever show or movie, and Lex Luthor tries to come back, and he's older, and he does it, and I'm like, how do you still have that? Like, this is a good thing I did not find you when I was a teenager. You would have been, like, my biggest crush. Sure. but anyways, back to Angel. Summary for season one. In Angel season one, the vampire with the soul Angel moves to Los Angeles to seek redemption by helping people tormented by supernatural threats. He starts Angel investigations with, of all people, Cordelia Chase and Doyle, a half-demon with visions from the powers that be. Together, they battle demons, vampires, and the corrupt law firm Wolfram and Hart, while Angel struggles with his dark past. Doyle sacrifices himself, passing his visions to Cordelia, and Wesley joins the team as their new ally. By season's end, Angel learns that his path to redemption can make him human again one day if he survives the fight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, is Doyle the same guy that we saw in Buffy?
No.
This is a
new character.
So this is brand new. Okay. Because I remember there was like a random character that like helped.
That was
Angel find
Whistler.
Buffy in what?
I think it was Whistler. Wasn't it Whistler?
Whistler. Okay. Yeah. I remember there was someone. I just couldn't remember if it was the same person. So main characters in season one is, of course, David Boreanaz. I never say his name right.
David Boreanaz.
Boreanaz. David Boreanaz as Angel. Charisma Carpenter as Cordelia. Alexis Denisoff as Wesley. And Glenn Quinn as Doyle. Those are the main people, even though Glenn's only in like 9 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some reoccurring, Elizabeth Roem as Kate, who I love her. She's in a couple things that I've seen that she's just great. Mm-hmm. Christian Kane has Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Stephanie Romanos.
Romanoff.
As Lila.
Lila.
Why am I having issues today? I don't know.
Ashley.exe has stopped working.
Huh?
I said Ashley.exe has stopped working.
Need a reboot.
Apparently. Julie Benz is Darla for 3 episodes. Carrie Cannon as Sister Oracle. Sarah Michelle Gellar does show up for 3 episodes. J. August Richards is Gunn. Randall Slavin is Brother Oracle. Eliza Dushku as Faith. Again, I said it wrong. Sorry. David Herman is David. Random. John Bannon is Trevor, and Michael Mantell as Oliver. And the big bad, who's really honestly the big bad through the whole series, is Wolfram and Hart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. First episode is called City of ... I know you don't normally read an ellipses, but that's literally how they have it written up. Angel relocates to Los Angeles, where he encounters a stranger who experiences visions of those in need and a woman who lives in fear of a vampire. And then the last episode is Tu Shenshu in LA. Mm-hmm. A scythe-wielding demon targets Angel's allies as Wolfram and Hart lawyers attempt to summon a powerful force from beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful and very, very...
Yeah.
She is.
I love her, though.
Ratings, highest rated is I Will Remember You, 9.1.
Hydrate and bring tissues for that one, man.
You don't know this episode?
No, I know this episode. Oh, okay. I just did not expect that noise out of you.
It's a sad episode. There's a lot going on there.
I know.
You don't think it's sad?
Angel must make a difficult decision regarding Buffy when a demon's blood makes him mortal once more.
No.
It's a hard episode because they get to experience him as a human and what they could be. But then he goes to the powers that be and says, I need you to erase her mind and I need to go back to being a vampire. And that is hugely difficult to watch. Because and like, he as a remembers. Buffy fan, you're like, finally! And it's like, wait, we know this isn't real because we have 7 seasons.
Yeah, but it's so terrible because he's left with the memory. She doesn't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
But Angel knows.
Yes, but Angel has a lot of torturing memories. We're just adding to the pile.
That's so terrible, though.
Yeah. I know.
Joss is the worst.
Second highest rated is, there's 2 of them. They're back-to-back, episode 18 and 19. They were both rated a 9 out of 10. 18's 5x5, fed up with Angel meddling in their affairs. Wolfram and Hart hire newly arrived Faith to take him out. So, you know, Faith comes in and tries to kill him yet again. How many times has Faith been hired to kill him? 2-3 times now?
I think just the twice.
Was it just twice?
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. But still, I feel like she's always hired to take out Angel. And then the second one is episode 19, Sanctuary, where Angel attempts to reform Faith as Kate, the Watchers Council, and even Buffy pursues her. So he's trying to save her and everyone else wants her dead.
It's so sad. The way Faith is, it's just... I love those episodes. I love them.
Yeah.
They're well done.
Third highest rated is episode 9, Hero. Doyle, Angel, and Cordelia assist a clan of mixed heritage demons targeted for extermination by a demon, a group of demons known as the Scourge. And this is right before Doyle dies or when he dies?
No, it's when he dies. That's probably why it's rated so high. Yeah.
Yeah. Lowest rated, I kind of talked about this in the last episode, is a episode called She. It was rated 6.9. Angel finds himself caught in the middle of a war between the sexes when female demon from another dimension fights against her male oppressors. They always throw in these random episodes where it's like, why?
Because there's 22 of them and they always have fillers.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But I don't know. I mean, it's fun to sometimes explore different universes and kind of what they would like.
True. Major themes, major themes in this season is redemption, loneliness, found family, moral gray areas, and fighting for hope, even in the dark city. I didn't need that part. Let's delete that. Key points in this season, Angel sets up Angel Investigations with the model. We help the helpless. He's joined by, again, I still, like, when I saw this season, or this episode for the very first time, and Cordelia shows up, I'm like, why? Because I hated Cordelia. Mm-hmm. Cordelia just ticked me off. She reminded me of the girls in high school that I just wanted to punch.
Yeah, she's a high school
girl. She is. So when I just remember not being happy about this. She grows on me. I do love her after this, as this goes on. But he's joined by Cordelia as an inspiring actress and former Sunnydale student, and Doyle, a half-demon when Vision sent by the powers that be. Doyle's visions is a key point in this. He receives visions of people in trouble. This guides the team to clients who need help with demons, vampires, and other dark sources. And then, of course, you got the big bad Wolfram and Hart. A sinister law firm becomes Angel's main antagonist. They represent evil clients, human and supernatural, and try to manipulate Angel to keep him from being a threat to their plans. Never works. Cordelia does have a lot of growth, as we just kind of talked about. She starts out as shallow and absorbed, which we've known since Buffy, but now she grows braver and more compassionate, becoming a true partner in the fight. Doyle's sacrifice in episode 9 was huge to save half-demon refugees from genocide, passing his visions on to Cordelia with a final kiss, which is interesting that Cordelia has to take on this, like, responsibility now. Wesley Wyndham Price joins the team. The former watcher of Buffy arrives from as a rogue demon hunter and becomes Angel's new ally. He adds comic relief and knowledge of the occult. So he's literally the pretty much bargain Giles.
Yeah, he's the Giles of this episode, of this season.
Yeah.
Of this series,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kate Lockley is in this. She's a LAPD detective who slowly learns about the supernatural world. She has a big struggle with Angel's vampire nature and creating tension. I did see another, like, recap thing about her, and a lot of people thought when this first season came out that she was going to be Angel's new love interest, and that was not Joss's intention at all. So that apparently was a big thing. Season finale. In the finale, Angel learns that the prophecy says he may become human again if he atones and survives his battles. Rofim and Hart try to prevent this by summoning a powerful demon, but Angel's team defeats it, though they lose their headquarters in an explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the big points. There are some crossover episodes with Buffy. The I Will Remember You episode connects with the Buffy Vampire Slayer season 4, episode 8, Pangs. After Buffy learns that Angel is in L.A., she visits him. They confront their lingering feelings. Angel becomes human temporarily. But to save Buffy, he asks for time to be turned back, losing their perfect day together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ring, now, there is a ring that lets him daytime walk. That's next season, right?
No, that's this season.
No.
Because there's another
one. That was this season.
Yeah, there's another.
Was that Buffy Sanctuary, then?
Crossover, that one.
Then there was Sanctuary, which was episode 19, connects with Buffy's episode 16 in season 4, Who Are You? And the Yoko Factor. Faith flees Sunnydale after switching bodies with Buffy. She comes to L.A. and Angel tries to help her find redemption. Buffy shows up and confronts Faith and clashes with Angel. They have an awkward union when they fight with Riley about what happened with Faith in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't talk about the
that's the next
connection
one.
With the ring.
No,
is
that's
that the Oz one?
Yeah.
That's oh, that's
Oz,
right. She gives
Oz
it to Oz.
Yeah, Oz leaves Sunnydale, right. And he's like, oh, yeah, I have a gig in L.A. I'll bring the ring down to Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Oz crosses over to Angel in the dark, which is season 3, when he brings the gem of Mara from Buffy, which mm-hmm. coincides with season 4, episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I wish Oz would have stayed longer. I feel like Oz would have been a fun Angel
character. That would have been interesting. That would have been interesting adding
definitely.
Him to the mix an Angel.
Mm-hmm. No, I
instead
think so.
Of Wesley putting in Oz.
Could or
just
both.
Adding Oz.
We could have had both. Seen both. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, after Doyle. Mm-hmm. I feel like him and Doyle would have been too...
Too similar?
Too similar. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. maybe after 9, him come back, mm-hmm. like, and be the new... Yeah. Not the Vision Doyle, but just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That type of character. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is all I had. I couldn't find any note, like, any behind-the-scenes stuff. Everything was, like, for later seasons mm-hmm. that I found.
Ah,
so.
Okay. Gotcha.
Take it away. I've talked too much. I'm gonna have water.
How are we feeling about Angel?
I love Angel. This was too. I watched this before I watched Buffy. So this was my introduction too.
Nice.
Really?
That's yes. Robbie turned it on, so that's what we watched first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
I love Angel.
I probably watched Buffy first and then I watched Angel, but yeah.
It may make more sense, but
yeah. I like that right off the bat, we know what kind of show this is. Like, within the first 10 mm-hmm. minutes, we know what show this is. And I think that's mm-hmm. really cool. Because Buffy is very mm-hmm. fresh in our minds. In our minds, mm-hmm. it's the same universe, and we know that it's plucky, and it's pizzazz, and it's bright. It's dark, but on the whole, mm-hmm. tonally, Buffy is very, like, it's a very bright show.
Right.
It's a very mm-hmm. teeny, yeah. you know. So... And I like that in the beginning it starts off kind of film noirish, but it's really just Angel sort of drunkenly brooding on a bar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm. That's the part that I'm talking about, where it's like, okay, we've made him a little less wooden and brooding. Like, he's actually kind of silly. He's a little. He's more mm-hmm. human. He's a little more human in this. You know.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really just, it's the moment that, you know, those vampires are about to leave with that one lady that they're playing mm-hmm. pool with, and then he swings off the mm-hmm. bar stool and he does a slow motion, like, walking out to the alley with, like, the music in the background, and he's got his mm-hmm. long coat and everything. Like, I like how immediately that's like, okay, this is the type of show this is now. It's not
Yep.
We're not in high school anymore. Like, we are, mm-hmm. you know, we're grown-ups now. We're in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that darker tone, and I like that mm-hmm. it's more mature. Yeah. Buffy's all about growing up and going out into the world. Angel is all about, we are growing up, so now it's time to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just like even just the intro mm-hmm. to Angel,
the music, and
the just everything about the intro.
Absolutely.
Just the way they put it together. Mm-hmm. Perfection. Yeah. I just love it.
It's one of those few intros where it's like, I'll just listen to it as I listen to other music. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, it'll be just on my playlist. Like, I'll rarely listen to the Buffy theme, but I'll definitely pull on the Angel theme and just listen to it mm-hmm. for enjoying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love, like, I think what I love the most about, I mean, the series in general, but we see a lot of this, like, in the first season, is just setting up a fantasy world in that's hiding just beneath the real world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The LA Underground.
The LA Underground. Yeah. It's like, things, you know, things hiding in plain sight. Like, most people in LA have probably heard of Wolfram and Hart at one point, but nobody knows that it's, like, you know, this evil supernatural entity that's actually controlling everything. Mm-hmm. And I love stuff like that. I love, like, hiding in plain sight fantasy stuff in, like, a modern world.
Mm-hmm.
Which we have, I mean, we grew up with a lot of that. We grew up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Sure.
And they were supposed to be underground. A lot of it, I feel like anything we did grow up was normally in New York. So it's kind of nice to get away from the underground.
Yeah, a lot happens in New York. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. A lot happens in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get to watch the season just because of everything that's going on in my life these past couple weeks, but I will be watching it before I even go into season two for next week's episodes. But I just love season ones. I've talked about this before. When it comes to TV mm-hmm. shows, I am usually obsessed with, like, the first seasons, and then depending on how the next season goes, if it starts to get too dramatic or too dark, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't do that. Now, I'm going to be honest, I've never finished Angel. I got through season three and I was done, because season four just, I wanted to.
Season four is rough.
Was too much.
Season four is rough. I love the show, but even all, yeah, I mean, it's, everyone pretty much can pretty much agree, season four is pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I gotta look back, like, there are images that I remember. It might have been when Cordelia was no longer Cordelia is when I stopped.
Yeah, she gets taken over by some.
Was that season four or season three?
Four.
I think it's four.
Does that start in three?
Well, something happens
four.
In
Does
three.
That start
where,
four?
Like, three is where she, like, ascends to something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Angel gets dropped to the bottom of the ocean. Spoiler!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully I can finish this.
Yeah.
Because I've never finished Angel.
You gotta push through four.
You gotta push through four. Five gets better.
Five is much better, yes. Yeah, right. But you gotta push through four. It's hard.
I have a week before I start my new job. And because I work from home, I will usually just watch stuff, like, on the side while I'm working if mm-hmm. I'm not talking to customers. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to do that anymore when I go back to an office.
Right.
So I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna have to push through this. Because mm-hmm. I won't have a lot of time to watch like I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see.
Now remind me, is season four the one where we actually meet Lauren's family, the singing demon, or is that five? Because I feel like that happened in season four. Because that's season four is dark, 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 dark. And I remember near the end, it starts to lighten up a little bit.
Was that season four?
So was it season three? Angel and Equal.
It's not season five. It's not season five because Cordelia goes with them, if I recall. Right?
Because that's one of the more famous ones, because that's where we get Numfar, do the dance of joy, and Numfar is played by Joss Whedon.
What?
You don't know about that?
I don't think I knew that.
It's in a season I've never watched.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll meet Lauren, I think, in season two.
In season two because I just started it. He's in the first episode.
So we meet Lauren, who's basically a demon who runs a singer who runs, like, a karaoke bar, and he reads people's souls, because when you sing, they bear their souls. So he kind of like an oracle, like he reads their future. Anyway, at one point we go to his home world and we see his whole family, and they're very like tribal and very traditional and very humpha.
Sounds very familiar.
That's where they get Fred. So that has to be.
That's right. Yeah,
it
right.
Because Fred was early on.
Yeah.
Fred was captured by one of them and used as like cattle or something like that.
Because doesn't Fred and Wesley like fall in
Fred
love?
And Gunn, and then Fred and Wesley.
Oh, that's right. Fred and Gunn first.
Which that's an interesting thing.
Gunn made me sad.
Yeah, I like Gunn a lot too. It's interesting seeing the changes between Fred and Gunn versus Fred and Wesley, because it's like, I mean, we'll get to it as the show goes there, but I don't know. It's one of those things where you actually like both of those couples for different reasons.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it later on, but yeah.
Very true.
I find it very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and the guy who plays Gunn, what have I seen him in? Where is he? Where'd he go? I don't want the episode list. I want the cast list. Hello. August J. Richards. What else have you been in? That's right. He's in an episode of The Rookie, which is with Nathan Fillion.
Oh, okay.
But he was like a big person in something and I can't remember what it was. Never mind. I can't find it.
I don't know either.
Never mind. I must be thinking of somebody else because there's nothing in here that I've watched. Oh yeah, he was Angels of S.H.I.E.L.D. That wasn't what I was thinking of, so I'm thinking of somebody else. Never mind. Yeah.
Okay.
My bad.
Mm.
He looks... There are certain actors that just look very similar, and I always get them confused.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder why he killed off Doyle.
Because Joss hates us.
Well, yeah. But apparently the actor who played Doyle was dealing with some similar things that Nicholas Brandon was dealing with. Like, he was dealing with some drug issues. And yeah, not as bad as Nicholas Brandon, but definitely to the point where he couldn't
Well, he died in real life.
He died like 3 years ago. Glenn,
he did? Yeah.
Yes. And aww. I know David and Christian, who plays Lindsay, I believe both of them were very good friends with him, so I know that was really hard for them.
Man.
The fact that he died in real life, it's been really hard for them to deal with. So, but yeah, I really liked Doyle as a character, and so it was very sad in the show to see him die and then know he died in real life, too.
Yeah, that was very sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely. Okay, yeah, he was dealing with substance abuse. And eventually died of an accidental overdose 2 years after he left the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was during the show. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Very sad. Yeah.
Huh. That's sad.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think.
I mean, overall, this season was a great season that started off this spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're...
Agreed.
This was parallel with season 4 of Buffy. It gave a whole new revitalization to the universe, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And really helped, but... What... Okay, when season 4... Hold on, let me... When was season 4 of Angel premiered?
Season 4 of Angel?
Yeah. So 2020.
3 years after season 1.
Or 2002. I didn't know what year we were thinking. Okay.
So 2005.
And then season 6 of Buffy. Okay. Well, that
they were around the same
sense.
Time, right? They were similar.
Yeah.
They were around the same time. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a year apart. So season 6 of Buffy premiered in 2001. Mm-hmm. Season 4 premiered in 2002. Mm-hmm. So literally, apparently, for 2 years, Joss was just in a phase.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to hate us.
There's what? When we get to
hate him,
when we get to season four, there's a lot just going on behind the scenes
I think he was dealing with some like marital problems at the time, and that was affecting. Plus, he was doing Buffy, Angel, and Firefly at the same time too. So
right, he had a lot on his plate.
A lot of his I think a lot of his focus was on Firefly.
Firefly wasn't this way.
No.
Like, how did you...
I think Firefly...
You could be fun and plucky and all the things in Firefly, yeah. But you have these two seasons where everyone just wants to be like, Joss, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, you know he would have done that with Firefly eventually.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, yes, eventually he would have, but we only got one season, which is so stupid.
Yeah. I remember I was watching... I don't know. This is just suspect, so I don't want to, like, again, say things that aren't true, but I've watched interviews with him about Firefly, and some of the things he says, I'm like, you were going through some personal stuff, weren't you? He's like, you know, Firefly has been one of the more sources of joy and pain in my life. It's gotten me through... It got me through a very hard time, so it's like... Mm. You know, he was saying where it's like, you know, you're working on a show that might be canceled at any moment. It doesn't help your marriage. It doesn't help your digestion. So it's like, I don't know. He never outright said anything, but I feel like he was sort of hinting that he was dealing with a lot in his personal life that was bleeding through in a lot of his work. And I think Firefly was probably like a safe haven for him. Not to excuse his bad behavior or anything.
I just don't understand how Firefly got such low ratings.
It wasn't really appreciated by the networks. I mean, it wasn't presented in the way that it was meant to be presented. It was ahead of its time in a lot of ways because people weren't really in a place where we can, like, grasp that level of serial storytelling with two very different aesthetics that were blending together. You know, like, I don't know. People didn't have the minds that they have now. If Firefly came out today, it would be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Firefly came out 10 years ago, it would be fine.
Nathan Fillion's still acting. We could start it back up.
We can't
start, I would be okay with a Firefly reboot.
No. Maybe like...
not reboot.
Maybe a short...
Reboot means starting over.
Right. No, maybe a short thing just to catch up with everyone and see where they're at. Don't bring the series back. It's done. That's done. I'm a purist, and even I say, let it go.
I wanted more.
We all want more, but I think that's kind of the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that we didn't get everything. You know, if he had continued the show like he wanted to, we would have been having the same conversations about Firefly that we're having about Angel and Buffy in season 6 and season 4.
Probably.
Season 4 of Firefly or whatever. Like, I can only imagine, and we've heard about, I mean, they've talked about some of the dark places he wanted to go, you know. I don't know
about those places. You'll have to tell us when we get to our Firefly episode.
Okay. Well, it has to do with Inara and some Reavers. So I'll just leave it at that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. Oh, yes, he would.
He would. Trust me. He would never.
Yes, he would. Because he hates us.
Okay, I'm glad he didn't go there. Okay. Anything else with season one, Angel? We haven't really... I mean, I don't know if there's really much to, like, break apart, because it's the first season.
I think, for the most part, this didn't really have a lot of filler episodes, which I appreciated. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was a lot of really good episodes.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of it, like, the first half of the season is really just sort of trying to figure out what its voice actually is. You know, like, you know, we kind of established, okay, this is, you know, it's gritty, it's crime fighter, it's not plucky high school. But it's like, what does that actually look like? How do we expound on that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, like, I feel like, you know, Doyle contributes to a lot of that. And then when Cordelia gets the visions and then they bring in Wesley and, you know, it kind of, like, evens out a lot of those kinks and it says, okay, this is where we're going. And then, you know, we meet Gunn later on and it's like, you know, we're putting our feelers out. We're expanding our roots out and we're saying, okay, this is what this show's voice is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I really like it. There's a lot of, it's a good season overall. Season two is good, but it's a lot slower. I remember season two being a lot slower, at least in the first part. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But we also get a lot of backstory in season two about Angel's past as well. So
exactly, which cool. I like that kind of stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they kind of finally start to, I mean, we got some of it in Buffy.
Yeah.
And a little bit the first
now
season.
Now we get more.
Mm-hmm. Now we get a little bit of it in Angel as well. I mean, we actually get to see, like, young. Yeah. We see Liam. We actually know, we realize, you know, we see Liam who he was before he became Angelus. And kind of, like.
Yes. Oh, I remember that episode very vividly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Definitely.
He was an idiot.
He was, he was a brute. He was an Irish brute. He was a drinker, a womanizer, and just.
Yeah.
Not really. Which deep. Makes sense. He was just kind of a jerk.
Well, he's. And he. He was very, from what I could tell, just for that age, he was very manipulative in his bruteness.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does translate from why he became the way he was when he became a just vampire.
Sadistic. Yeah,
it took what he had and amplified it.
Absolutely.
Which I find hilarious because you got Spike, which we saw who Spike was before he came in, and... It's funny to know, like, the nerdy side of the real Spike actually had all that anger and violence in him that exponentially
I love this conversation, too, because I love just the fun... We've probably talked about it before already, but I love the fundamental differences between Liam and William. They could not be more different.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Liam...
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, Liam was... You know, like I said, he's manipulative. He was, you know, a brute. He was a fighter, you know, with a, you know, controlling, narcissistic, abusive, religious father or whatever. So he had a lot of demons in him. He had a lot of darkness that was already there. So when he turns evil, I mean, that shadow side of what's all that is just, that would be the devil. That would be Darth Vader. That would be just black, dark for the sake of dark.
Yep.
Spike, William, he was a poet. He was a hopeless romantic. He was sweet. He was, you know, he cared for his mother. He was, he was kind of, you know, he was bullied and he dealt with that. He had a lot of anger because of that. But, like, the shadow side of the poet is the rock star, you know, the junkie, the guy who just wants it for the rush and the high. And yes, he's violent and he's evil, but, you know, he does it because, you know, for the rush of it all. He doesn't do it because he gets off on hurting people. Angelus gets off on hurting people. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like there's a conversation, I forget which season, when we'll probably get to it eventually, but the conversation between, you know, Spike has his soul, Angel has his soul, and they're going back and forth and... You know, Spike saying, like, when I was a vampire, I was just, you know, I didn't care much for the people I hurt. I liked the rush. I liked the crunch. Never looked at the victims. And he was like, I couldn't take my eyes off them. You know, I love just deconstructing a whole human being. Yeah, it's very,
I mean, he did it to Drusilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Drew.
That's an Angel, right? Where we see him deconstruct Drusilla, or was that in Buffy? I remember the episode. I don't remember where
didn't we have
it
that in Buffy already?
I think we had it in Buffy.
Yeah, okay. I think it was in Buffy.
I don't remember. I just remember it happening. I'm like, when did we watch that?
Yeah, I don't remember. We'll see. So it comes up.
Oh, Drusilla.
Yeah.
Drew. He made her something all right. Mm-hmm. She reminds me of, like, before she became a vampire, she reminds me of the yellow wallpaper. Do you remember that story in high school we had to read?
No.
Oh my gosh. It was like, actually no, I read it in Themes and Literature, which was an extra English class I took. It's like a feminist prose from like the 1800s. And it's like, it felt very Drusilla. Like I remember like watching Drusilla and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the yellow wallpaper all over again, except in vampiric form.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. All right. Anything else?
No.
Oh, what, did you have anything to say on I Remember You? I feel like you kind of scoffed, Sammy. I don't know. I thought it was a really good episode. You just
I have a lot of scoffing. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. I mean, that episode is so good, but it's the worst ever. It's just so sad.
It's so sad.
Oh, I Remember You?
Yeah.
It's so sad. And it just stops. No. That's what I hate about it at the end. Like, as sad as it is... And then it goes back to Buffy forgetting about him, and then it just ends. There's no closure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's just like, yeah, we should take time apart. And I'm just like, no.
End credits.
What is this? Yes, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But
that's what I say. Anyone who watches that episode, hydrate and bring some tissues.
It's awful.
It's so sad. It's hard.
Yes. Because, you know, it's like 5 minutes of good and then garbage.
Yeah.
Just goes downhill, you know?
Oh, Joss.
Yeah.
Hate us.
I mean, then it just adds to it when Buffy bops back up and she's all mad about Faith, and you know the Angel knows what they, like, what happened, right, and Buffy doesn't know, and it just adds to the drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a hard one.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also, off of that, I also, like, that's when Faith has her kind of, like, you know, redemption moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like that he's trying to help Faith, even though everyone else has, like, given up on her, you know? And
well, and it helps set up for her even more redemption when she comes back for season 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I also like the fact that, like, she's literally in prison because she's choosing to be there, which we see in season 7. Like, she could break out and just do whatever she wants at any time. And I'm like,
but she stays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, that shows a lot about her character as well.
And it's nice because Angel even goes and checks on her at one point in time, which is nice too. Then he's like, oh, I got something to do. And he's just checking on Faith. How are you doing? Surviving okay? So, yeah, I like their friendship. I think that's nice. And I do think when Buffy, I get why Buffy's mad because, you know, Faith is the worst. Yeah, like, when she comes to town in Sunnydale.
She's
just
been through. She's had her whole identity stolen by, you know.
Yes,
yeah.
So, yeah, I get why she followed her there and why she's all mad. But also, I do think Angel was right when he's like, this is none of your business.
Yeah.
You don't know my life. You're not in my life. Go home. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to come here and act like you wanted to protect me, which is what she keeps saying. He's like, that's not what you wanted. You know, you just wanted to get revenge on Faith, whatever, butt into what we're doing. Go home.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch, but Buffy had to go, you know? She needed to leave, so.
Yeah.
Well, it's all part of that, just moving on, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she can't move on.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll ever move on.
Probably. Neither of them really move on, I mean.
No, but, you know, at some point it's like one of them has to make the decision to just do the act, even though the, you know, the pain is still there.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, she tried. It didn't work.
No. They always come back around to each other eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's all you can say about that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Sorry. I didn't get much sleep last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. My allergies are kicking my butt.
Ah, I hate that. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
No? Okay. Well, Pixie Dusters, if you've never watched Angel, we encourage you to go watch. I know you kind of already know what's happening, but it's okay. Like, you'll still enjoy it, I promise. So thank you for joining us for season 1 of Angel. We will be back next week for season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.